Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show is presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Now, from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, it's the Investors Bank High School Football Show on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
Good Thursday evening, everyone. Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show. Kevin Williams, along with Ed Sarluka and Matt Harmon, taking you along till 8:30 tonight with high school football and a little college football talk thrown in as well as we get ready for the semifinals of the NJSIAA playoffs. 15 Shore Conference teams still in the hunt for state sectional championships. Some big games coming up this weekend. And we'll talk with a couple of teams who will be featured spotlight on the show tonight. First up in a few minutes, the Huskies of Mattawan, who are coached by John Kay. And John will be here along with his outstanding senior wide receiver and defensive back and captain, Justin Ferrara, who is getting ready to celebrate a birthday. We'll save that a little bit later on. And also tonight we talk Green Dragon football. Brick with a big one tomorrow night. We'll be joined by Coach Rob Dahl and their outstanding middle linebacker, senior James Giuliano. That's all coming up tonight. Our regular spot, of course, with Coach Kevin Callahan from Monmouth University. The Hawks getting ready for their season finale on Saturday afternoon at home. And then, of course, our own Scott Stump from the Shore Sports Network will chime in a little bit later on. So as I say good evening to my broadcasting colleagues, coming off the opening round of the playoffs, I wouldn't say a ton of drama. There was some predictable mismatches, some stunning upsets, though. A couple of number eight seeds from the Shore knocked off number ones.
Yeah, a couple of major upsets of top seeds. Ocean Township, who will be the opponent of Mattawan, our guest tonight, upset top-seeded Hopewell Valley, and down in South Jersey, Group 5, that Class A South rose to the top as Toms River North, seated number 8, the last team in, upset top-seeded Lenape in a very good matchup for Toms River North. And now they will get the winner, Cherokee, who beat Brick Memorial.
Does the 8-1 upsets validate what has been a little bit of a controversy in that, you know, with the 8 teams in the section and some of these sections, you don't have 8 teams with winning records. You know, does it validate the NJSIAA? Let's put it that way. Does it validate their position about giving all these teams opportunities as opposed to guys like me who feel if you don't have at least a 500 record, you shouldn't even be in?
I think it helps their argument, but I don't think it completely makes their argument, because I think you could still do it a different way. You could say you've got to be 500 to be in the playoffs, and if you don't have 8 of those teams, then you just shorten that bracket a little bit. And if you had a bracket like that South 5, in which Toms River North had a 500 record or better going into it, you let that play as a full 8-team bracket. But if you don't have a 500 record, then you don't qualify. And if you don't have 8 teams, then you play it with 6, you play it with 5, whatever it could be. You give a bye here or there. I think that would be the way to go about it. But it certainly helps that a couple of those 8 seeds knocked off number ones.
Well, we knew that Toms River North was a good football team. I've labeled them the Jekyll and Hyde team of 2014. Play at the top of their game 1 week, and then the next week a little letdown. They had a major letdown against Neptune, got shut out, goes into the first round and upsets the top seed Lenape team from down south. Ocean, it was even more stunner to me because they lose their best back and one of the top backs in the Shore, and Tyler Thompson. Yep. The junior, who luckily will have his senior year if he recovers from his leg, breaking of his leg. But they go in and with a 3-5 record and upset Hopewell Valley, the defending champions in that group.
You know, we'll obviously save the Central Jersey Group 3-4 talk until we have our guest on, because those are the two sections they have vested interest in. But what else from the opening weekend kind of caught you, struck your fancy, so to speak? Anything that really shocked you?
Well, Neptune, Matt, you know, with the 21-7 victory over Freehold, who went into week number 8 with a 7-0 record, have lost their last 3 games in stunning fashion, a couple of shutouts and then 7 points the other day against Neptune. Neptune riding high. Manalapan easy over Old Bridge. St. John Vianney very easy over Pope John. These are our top teams. I kind of a surprised by the score. Modern Day Prep 48 points against Morristown Beard.
Well, I thought all 3 non-publics were very impressive.
Yeah. Well, I thought, and I was actually impressed with that too, because if you think about, you know, Modern Day Prep getting a win, maybe not all of the surprise, but the score obviously is one. They've got a very difficult game in the semis against St. Joe's Hamilton. But I thought in the non-public 3, to see RBC and St. John Vianney both win so handily with what they have coming up, the only thing you could say about that, yes, the schedule certainly gets tougher for them, but at least they've got a lot of momentum going into their games this weekend.
Yeah, no question about that. To me, the other one, and I think a team that has kind of flown under the radar all season long but deserves a lot of credit, and I would think that would be, we would consider the Shore's biggest surprise this year, is Central Regional.
Your alma mater, yeah. Definitely, Kevin, I agree. And
I mean, I don't think Willie Jacobs has gotten the credit for what he's done there, but they've clinched a share of the B-South Championship. Barnegat can get the other half with a win on Thanksgiving Eve against Pinelands. They qualified for the playoffs for the first time in a long time and won their first playoff game for the first time in 20 years. Had never won a home playoff game, although it was a home playoff game at Toms River East, because Central's getting the brand new turf field, which will be ready for Thanksgiving. And they head to Allentown, a team that is somewhat familiar to a lot of people on the Shore because of its proximity. But I think Central's had a tremendous run, and this sophomore running back, Mike Bickford, has just put up incredible numbers this year.
Yeah, I saw Bickford a couple of times this year, and, you know, again, over 230 yards on the ground easily. I mean, he's approaching 2,000 on the year. I mean, he's had a fantastic year. He's a big, strong kid. Boy, I'd like to have him in the stable for 2 more years like, you know, Willie Jacobs is going to have.
Yeah. I know one thing. 15 Shore Conference teams playing this weekend. And obviously there's a couple of head-to-head, so that'll knock them out. But I've got a feeling that first weekend in December, we're going to have a lot of Shore Conference teams to follow in the state finals.
Yeah, I thought it was a real good weekend for the Shore. You know, not just because of the upsets, but just the overall theme of it. We know, you know, a bracket like Central 4, which had 6 of the 8 teams. But the good thing about it is 4 of those 6 teams advance. You know, there are no outsiders from the Shore Conference. That'll be an all-Final 4 Shore Conference matchup. And then in Central 3, you've got 3 teams advancing through, so real good representation there. Central 2, I think Rumson has to be considered a favorite,
absolutely,
certainly, to play in a Final Shore Regional, the same thing. You know, I think the road probably gets a little bit tougher for everybody else in the South brackets and the non-public brackets, but Central Jersey-wise, I think the Shore is in great shape.
Yeah, 3 definite finalists, you know, because there are 3 games that are head-to-head. And then I wouldn't be surprised if there are at least 3 more. So that should give us 6, maybe 7 teams in the finals.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Of course, you're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show. I want to mention that our football picks for this weekend's games are on our website, SureSportsNetwork.com. They're presented by Gold Coast Cadillac, located on Route 35 in Oakhurst, a half mile south of the Monmouth Mall. Coach Sarluca has been in the catbird seat all season long. He really can't fall that much this week because he's only got 1 game different from Bob Batters, who's in second place. And I would think we're about to crown an incredible you know what? If Central's the surprise of the season, Sarluca being in first place, because he's the cellar dweller every year in the picks.
Well, I mean, what he has done is he capitalized early in the year and went up and scouted and talked to Middlesex County coaches, a couple of Mercer County schools that were involved in the schedule. I mean, he had a real good handle on that for, you know, guys that actually work during the day, myself. I mean, we don't have the time to do that.
I have the game films.
Ed has that. He's got a full scouting report on all those teams out there.
Subscription to Huddle. Remember, I mentioned Huddle, you know, mid-season, and you guys laughed at me. But Huddle is a great thing, you know, where all the game films are on there. You could go on there and
again, when
scout.
You have all the time in your hands,
there you
you're
go.
Retired, you
there
can
you
do
go.
Those things. But for us, working stiffs. Well, we've got a good show tonight. A little bit later on, we'll talk Green Dragon football with Coach Rob Dolan, who's a terrific senior middle linebacker, and Captain James Giuliano. And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we go Huskyville. Well, really looking forward. I'm glad we were able to get Coach John Kay to come down tonight. Mattawan with a big game this weekend, and he brings with him his terrific senior all-purpose player, Justin Ferrara. And we'll talk Mattawan football and their game this weekend and the possibility of playing in a state final, all that stuff, right after this timeout. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here live on a Thursday night. Hope you're enjoying the football, which is about set to get started on some of the TV screens, and enjoying us talking high school football here as we do each and every week from the Water Street Bar and Grill in downtown Toms River. Happy to get this spot on about as far north as you could go in Monmouth County. So taking a long drive down and giving us some time are the guys from Mattawan, head coach John Kay, and his outstanding senior wide receiver and safety, Justin Farrar. Guys, thanks for taking the time coming down, talking some Mattawan football. How are we doing tonight?
Great. Good. Thanks for having us.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Coach, let's start with you. You know, for you guys, starting off the way you did, I mean, the schedule makers did you no favor at the beginning part of the season. Lost to St. John Vianney, lost to Rumson, and then really turned things around. A couple of solid wins over Raritan and Monmouth. You've now won the last three, including a 27-6 win over Raritan last week in the opening round of the playoffs. Any time of that early stretch where you as a coaching staff were worried and thinking, boy, we might be in over our heads a little bit this year?
Well, we talked to our young men about, you know, what dogs do when they get backed in the corner. You know, we were 0-2, and we could do one of two things. We can lie down and take a beating the rest of the year, or we can come out fighting, and we can work hard, and you back a dog in the corner, he's going to bark his way out. So, you know, we went hard to work.
Justin, that's a pretty good analogy for you guys, and, you know, sometimes it takes some adversity to figure out what kind of team you might be, and you as being one of the seniors on the team, I mean, obviously you're part of that rallying group and one of the leaders on that football team. What was the message like in the locker room early on in the year?
I mean, at first it was hard losing the first two, but we knew that it was either if we rallied together, we were going to have to give up for the rest of the year, and we knew we wanted to win the championship, so that's what we had to do.
Justin, faced a team that you had already faced in the regular season. Was that a little bit easier the second time around, or you throw that thought out because it's a playoff game?
I think you throw it out because it's a playoff game, and they're in the game plan differently, and so are we.
Justin Farrar, the outstanding senior wide receiver and safety, 33 catches on the year for just under 700 yards, four touchdowns. Justin, talk about the relationship that you have with your quarterback who's had a great year. Just a freshman, George Pearson, who's thrown for over 1,500 yards, nine touchdowns, four of those going to you. How much of a process was that, really, having him feel comfortable with you guys within the offense and vice versa, him feeling comfortable throwing the football to you guys?
Well, it starts every day at practice. The relationship gets better and better. And in the game, we just execute.
Coach, when you think about it, I mean, it's pretty rare for a freshman quarterback at any level, but certainly here in the Shore Conference where things are pretty competitive. But obviously, you guys have a pretty special young man that you've given the reins of the offense to.
Right. Well, LC's a special kid. I mean, there's not every day 14-year-olds walk out on a varsity football field and do the things that he can do. And you talk about, you know, having 1,500 yards and all that. He didn't even play, really, in the first two games. I mean, he'd be up where 2,000 yards. You know, it just took a while for us to find our identity, you know, what kind of team we were. And, you know, we gave him the reins and said we're going to throw the ball a little more. Then, you know, things started to really open up for us offensively. You know, if you had told me a couple years ago that we would play a game like we played Homedale and we ran the ball once in the first half.
Wow.
And if you told me that I would ever call a game like that, I would have never believed you.
That doesn't even sound like Mattawan football anymore, right?
Far from the old days with, Barry Rizzo and the single wing. You know those stories, John?
Oh, absolutely. Coach Rizzo.
See, I'm a little older than you, so I remember those days well.
Coach Rizzo's still around. He comes around. He comes in our locker room. He talks to the boys a lot. And we have alumni events and things like that. Coach Rizzo's always there. He's a big part of the history and lore of being a Mattawan football player, and these guys take great pride when he comes in the room.
Justin, does it feel like, you know, as someone who's been on the program for the last 4 years, does it feel like that Mattawan has that tradition that you guys all as football players kind of buy into?
It really does. I mean, that's Mattawan for you. We have a story program since day one till now.
6-4 so far this year. Mattawan head coach John Kay and senior captain Justin Farrar giving us some time. The Huskies will take on Ocean Township this week. And, coach, pretty good opportunity to talk about the matchup. It's part of an interesting bracket. Carteret and Long Branch on the other side. So three of the four semifinalists are from the Shore Conference. And perhaps the biggest surprise would be the team that you guys will play coming up this weekend, Friday, at home at Mattawan, 7 o'clock kickoff. Is said from watching Ocean during the course of last week and obviously scouting them early or during the course of the season, that was a pretty surprising win that they pulled last week.
Yeah, they're a quality football team, and like I tell our team all the time, it's not always who's the best team in September that wins championships, the best team that plays in November and December. We always talk about that Giants run where they when they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl and how they weren't the best team in the league all year, but they finished strong and they played great at the right time. Or we talk about our football team at that one and beat Rumson 3-0 on a year that you know we weren't supposed to be there. So you know it's all about who's playing right at the right time, and you know we think we're peaking at the right time. We're coming together, and we're excited about the matchup.
Justin, this is quite a coaching staff that, you know, gets you guys ready to play. When you mention guys like, you know, Jay Bellamy and Kenny Mandeville, old-time Mattawan players that I'm sure you've heard of, right? But now they're coaching you. And then you throw in a veteran coach like Sam Turner. What do those guys do and what do they mean to you?
I think it's really easier to, like, really listen to them and just, like, really concentrate and, like, listen more into as what they're saying and trying to teach you, knowing that they've been there and they've played at the next level.
Yeah, they certainly have.
For Mattawan, a matchup this weekend against Ocean Township. Coach, you know, it goes this way with football all the time. The offense always gets so much recognition, but, boy, your defense has been playing well over the last couple of weeks as well. 6 points last week you gave up, 17 in a big win over Barnegat, 6 to Manasquan, 7 earlier in a game to Homedale. Maybe that's a bit of a turning point for you guys because you had some rough stretches earlier in the season with giving up points to some pretty good football teams, but it seems like not only has the offense matured with a freshman quarterback, but the defense has gotten consistently better week in and week out.
Right. Well, like I said, it took us some time to get together. We were a young team. You know, we graduated, you know, Nick Tompkins, who was at Dartmouth, and we graduated Dougie Weber, who was at Albright, and, you know, we graduated, you know, we lost Calvin Beattie, who transferred to St. John Vianney. So we had to replace some players, you know, but once we got some young bucks in there ready to play, we started to gel. It took some time, but we take a lot of pride in how we play defense. And Coach Bellium and Coach Marsh, they draw it up, and Coach Citro, they draw up the defense. And let me tell you what, we're going to be in attack mode from the first second of the game to the minute the whistle blows.
Justin, a big part of the defense as well. 3 interceptions on the year, fumble recovery, and 35 tackles with our stats. You know, Justin, you've had a good successful run as a player in this program, 7-3 last year, 5 wins a couple of seasons ago, and now 6 wins here looking for 7 on Friday night against Ocean Township. Does it feel like this football team, as Coach said earlier, is really peaking right now at the right moment?
Yeah, I feel like we're playing our best football at the right moment.
Well, it's definitely a good time to do that around the state playoff activity. Coach, you know, you look a little bit more specifically at this matchup with Ocean Township. They lost their best player, at least, you know, going into the season from the running back position. And every team deals with injuries. And them coming off of that big win last week, you know, we were just talking in our opening segment, you know, wins for a team like St. John Vianney or RBC going into big matchups this week. They're riding some momentum. You would think for Ocean, kind of the same thing. I know you're not a coaching member there, but just from a coaching perspective, to get a big win like that on the road, you almost have that, you know, never say die type attitude as the
right.
A-seed.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, since they lost Tyler Thompson, I think they've become a more diverse offense. I mean, when Tyler was there, they were one-dimensional. You knew he was carrying the ball. You know, he was going to run the counter play. He was going to run the, you know, off-tackle play. And now, you know, they're spreading it out. They're throwing it. The quarterback's getting out of the pocket, breaking contain. They're running speed sweeps. And they've become a much more diverse offense. The quarterback kid does a really nice job. The picket kid, he gets out, runs the ball a little bit. I mean, the Blackman kid's got good speed. You know, they're going to be a handful, and we're working hard to prepare for them.
You know, it's not often that you have a freshman quarterback going up against a sophomore quarterback. You mentioned Pickett, who is a sophomore for Ocean. Pretty rare matchup.
Yeah. Well, I'll take our guy all the time, you know. Kenny's a nice kid. My daughter used to train over at Parisi with him, so he's a good kid. I know his dad pretty well. They're He's a nice kid, but you know, I'll tell you what, George Pearson's a special kid.
You know, Matt, this summer before the offshore game, ironically, it's an ironic situation that we have Brick in the house as well as Mattawan, but Mattawan faced Brick in the 7-on-7 right before the offshore classic. Mattawan won that. I think it was 18-12.
Came down the last second. And actually, George Pearson was in the game, and we were splitting time with a senior quarterback and him. And he came out and made a big play and won the game late.
Where's the LC come from?
You know what? It's his father. It's his father's nickname, and I asked him one day where it come from, and he just gave me a, I don't know. So.
Hey, I got another question for you. Who coaches your kickers? Oh. I mean, last year, you know, one of the offshore kickers, Creamer, had 14 field goals. This year, Adam Elliott's picked up right where he left off. He's got 6 field goals. It's nice to have that weapon, you know, when you get into the red zone.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. You know who coaches our kickers? Nobody.
Wow.
Because none of us know anything about kicking, so we just we don't mess with them. So Mike Creamer would kick field goals, and Jay Bellamy has a little funny thing. If he makes kicks and puts the kickoffs where he wants them, then he calls him by his name. So he'll be like, Elliot, get over here. But then if the kid misses the kick or he puts it in a kickoff where he doesn't want, he calls him kicker.
That's usually how most kickers are referred to.
Adam probably Elliott. Took that from the pros, probably.
Adam Elliott's a tremendous athlete, though, as a baseball player. And right. He just walked in the locker in the weight room one day in August and said, you know, Coach, I think I can kick. So we put the ball on a tee. And he kicked it in the end zone. Right, we could work with that.
There you go.
Justin, let's go back to this offense, which certainly, you know, with the freshman quarterback throwing the football as much as you guys do, and as Coach mentioned, you know, running the ball as little as one time in a game earlier this season, it's got to be as a wide receiver, and I know you're among a pretty talented group at that position. It's got to be pretty fun right now to play in that offense.
Yeah, it definitely is, knowing that our identity, which in the past used to be running, that we're more a passing team, is fun.
So, you know, I did do some work outside and talking with other teams at even the next level, at the collegiate level. I always have fun with the wide receivers because when you get into that type of offense that throws the football, it almost becomes a bit of a competition as to who's going to get it and who's open a little bit more. And as I've always been told by some of the wide receivers, there's never a time that a wide receiver isn't open. You can always go back to the quarterback, and especially for you, tell a freshman quarterback, remember, I can always stuff you in a locker the next day walking around the hall. I'm a senior. You are a freshman. So, you know, but the offense right now, as you said, is really rolling pretty good.
Yeah, it really is. Every game we really have a competition as to who gets more receiving yards, and the loser, well, the winner gets dinner paid for by the other receivers.
Are you leading right now? Yeah. I know you've got more receptions than anyone, but it's yards?
Yeah.
Comfortably? Are you comfortably ahead?
That's close.
Never comfortable.
Well, make sure you get a couple thrown your way this week. Mattawan will take on Ocean coming up on Friday night. And for you, a bit of a milestone, turning 18, right?
Yeah.
What's the coach? What's the team and the coach and the rest of the players going to do for you? You get carried off the field, anything like that? Nothing fun?
Just win. That's all that matters.
If he catches the winning touchdown, they'll carry him off. That's for sure.
I think if he catches the winning touchdown, then he should get two dinners. A dinner for maybe receiving yards and one for catching that winning touchdown. Coach, you know, at this point, you guys pay – how much attention are you going to – I know you'll probably have somebody scouting there, but going into it, I mean, it's so difficult to track everything going on, and as much as you like to say we were preparing for either Hopewell Valley or Ocean, now at this point, Carteret and Long Branch, pretty good side of the other bracket as well.
Absolutely. But, you know, somebody asked me the other day, if we win Friday night, where do you play? I'm like, I don't really know. I'm preparing to go play Friday night.
And who cares, right?
You know, if we get there, we get there. You know, but right now, we started 5 weeks ago, and we were at a crossroad in our season. We were playing Manasquan, where we were like 4-4, and we said, "Look, we have 5 weeks to go 1-0. We have to go 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. So right now we're on our fourth week of having to go 1-0, and we'll go 1-0 this week, and we'll get another chance."
Coach, I would assume that Aleem Shaw is the leader on your defense, right?
No question.
From the middle linebacking spot, tell us a little bit about him and his leadership ability.
Aleem Shaw does a great job of lining up and getting after the football. You know, Coach Bellamy dials up and Coach Marsh dial up a million different blitzes to try to free people up. And between Aleem and Isaiah Phillip, our two middle linebackers, they make a bunch of plays. But that can only work well if we can handle things in the secondary coverage-wise. And, and Justin and Dejon Rogers and Sean Ramtran and those guys do a great job back there of covering, so let us get, you know, time to get to the quarterback and play with that many men in the run box.
Justin, for you, a senior, college plans or future plans once you get done with high school?
No, right now I'm just focused on winning a championship.
Well, that's a good way. That would certainly be a good way to wrap up your football career if it does conclude in high school. Guys, thanks so much for coming. Best of luck coming up this weekend against Ocean. From our perspective, we're always happy to see the Shore Conference teams do well, but would certainly enjoy any particular matchup. Long Branch on one side. Long Branch Mattawan has a nice sound to it, right, Coach?
You know what? Long Branch Mattawan, that would mean that we got there, so... You know, when we played them the first time, we didn't feel like we had a real, you know, we didn't get it done. So if we can get to that point, we'd be real excited.
Well, best of luck tomorrow night. Justin,
thank you.
Thanks for coming down. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Have fun with the rest of the season. That's John Kay, Justin Farrar from Mattawan. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll swap things for Mattawan and come back down south and talk some Green Dragon football as Brick is in the house. We'll step out for just a brief timeout. You're listening to our high school football show, the Investors Bank High School Football Show, down at the Water Street Bar and Grill on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Well, we go from Mattawan to Brick as we preview what is one of the big games this weekend, maybe the most anticipated game of the weekend, at least for a lot of Shore football fans. Central Jersey Group 4 semifinals tomorrow night. It will be the Green Dragons of Brick hosting the Jaguars of Jackson. The game will broadcast right here on our Shore Sports Network, 1160 and 1310 a.m. Kickoff at 7 o'clock on what will be a very chilly evening in Brick, but the action on the field should be quite warm. We're delighted to have with us tonight the head coach of the Green Dragons, Rob Dahl, and he brings with him his terrific senior middle linebacker and captain, James Giuliano. As always, we thank you both for coming down tonight on the eve of a big one. Looking great in the green. Looked very good on the video tonight for sure with the white ties. And, this is one of those, Coach, I think back to that Saturday night game when you played out at Jackson. You know, the game ended, and, you know, my reference was this is like one of those instant ESPN classics. I mean, it was as good as a game could get. And then we said, you know, there's a chance these teams could meet again. When you left the field that night, was there a thought in your mind that we may see these guys before this season is over?
Yeah, without a doubt. We knew they were a good team going in. We knew they beat up Williamstown and Manalapan in scrimmages, and we knew they were a good team when we went in. When we finished that game, we said that's a very good team, and most likely we'll see them again because we knew they were in their bracket, and we knew they were going to be a playoff team, and here we are.
That was an overtime win, James, a game that would ultimately give you the Class A South Championship all by yourselves, and, of course, avenging a loss to them last year, which cost you the A South title.
It felt really good, especially because of last year. You know, and we kind of knew going into that game, like, you know, guys, there's some other good teams, but this is really for A South. You know, so we sold out. We know it's going to bother them, so we really can't wait. You know,
James, I don't know if you realize it, but unofficially, you lead the Shore Conference in tackles with 123 of them. Did you know that?
I've had a couple of my friends and, you know, my mom, and they tell me, you know, did you know you're number one? You're number one. I said, well, you know, it's not really official, but that's not really important to me, to be honest.
It's more than official, that's for sure. You are a good one, and you lead. He leads this coach, that defense, who, you know, sometimes gets overlooked, yep. You know, because of the tremendous offense, 38.5 points a game offensively. The defense only gives up 11.5 a game.
Yeah, I think we had the best defense in ASAP this year. James does a great job. He flies under the radar. You know, more importantly, he's a team kid. After the first game against Memorial, he had an important role. If anything busted out of the seven-man front, he had to tackle it. And he didn't have to make too many tackles. The guys in front of him did a great job. So, you know, we had our chart ceremony and sticker ceremony, and he didn't really get a lot of glory during that chart ceremony or sticker ceremony. He said, guys, I can care less if I get one sticker on my helmet as long as we win every single game. As long as we keep winning, it's all that matters. And that says a lot about him and the character, and he's been a great leader in the classroom, and he's been a great leader on the field for us.
By the way, I want to throw in, James was a recent WOBM Student of the Week. Did you get your plaque yet?
Yeah.
I sent it to you. Did you notice that was my signature on the thing? I know that autograph is not worth anything. But he is an outstanding student athlete and a great representative of the school. So we're not just talking about the athlete. We're talking about a student athlete. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Does it mean anything that the Giuliano clan over there is eating the pizzas at the table and the Matawan clan are eating the burgers? What does that mean?
I'm not sure if it has much to do with anything. It might be an Italian thing.
But anyway, Coach, let's talk a little bit about this offense, okay? As I said, I believe it was 26 points a game last year. This year we're up over 38 a game. Why the improvement? You know, it's a lot of the same kids. Is it the repetition?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, last time I was here, we worked vigorously throughout the summer to get this passing game down. I think we did. We have weapons, and we needed to utilize them. And, you know, sometimes some guys don't touch the ball at all. That's just how many weapons we have. You know, we have our big tight end. We got wideouts all over the field. And also, you know, you have the two guys in the backfield, you know, Carmen and Ray. There's so many weapons. And being dual and being a dual threat as far as the run game and pass game has really helped us. Teams cannot load the box anymore because you got to worry about, you know, Jasir and Jaquez, Joe Phillips, Matthew Schleifer. You know, we have a ton of guys, and Simon Bengelis. We have all different guys where you just can't load the box up on us anymore.
You know, last year you had to maneuver around some of those middle games without Carmen with his injury. This year you've had a healthy Carmen. All he's done is put up 2,760 yards of total offense. You know, 1,350 via the pass and another 1,400 on the ground. Quite a dual threat.
Yeah, it's nice to have. You know, dual threat quarterbacks are the way that everybody's going nowadays, and you know, he's doing a great job for us both with the run game and making smart decisions through the air. And we couldn't be happier of, you know, his process and how he's come along a long way.
Talking with Brick head coach Rob Dahl and his senior middle linebacker James Giuliano. James, a little difference for them from the first time you faced them to now. The sophomore running back has become a bigger factor for them. Mike Golic, he has him and Vinny Lee are terrific at that tailback spot. But Matt Castronova he's now in the lineup, plays the wide receiver spot, runs the jet sweep a lot. As you looked at film of them and your coaches have talked with you, are they a better team now than when you played them in October?
I would say absolutely. I think they're definitely, you know, better now offensively and defensively than they were when we last played them. But, you know, I think we're a better team too. You know, I think that's just what happens as the season goes on. You know, guys get better, you work harder, you find out certain guys fit better in different spots, and, you know, you just roll from there. I think both of our teams are much improved from when we last met, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night.
James, I'm curious as to how you practiced. Are you a film guy? Do you like to watch a lot of film?
Absolutely, yeah. You could pretty much always find me in the coach's office or at my house, you know, watching film with Coach Mack, the coordinator, Coach Dahl, or just on my own on my phone. I mean, I love going out and, you know, practicing hard out on the field, but I'm a pretty meticulous film guy.
You know, we talk, offense gets all the ink. You know that. I like defense. Tell us about those guys in front of you that help you lead the shore in tackles, because it's those guys that are keeping those offensive linemen off of you.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that, because I wanted to mention them. They do an absolutely tremendous job. The guys up front, you know, Chris Kimbis at nose guard, Jake Layton and Dan Finelli, the two ends, and then, of course, you've got Jordan Keefe and Ray at the outside backer spots. I mean, the three guys in the middle of the D linemen, they do an awesome job. They swallow up double teams. You know, they do whatever's asked of them. They slant here, they move there, and really they keep blockers off of me and some of the other guys. And, you know, Ray, people always know he's a threat coming off the edge. You know, I mean, they really do whatever's asked of them. I get really excited when they make big plays because they really, I mean, I got to credit pretty much all my tackles to them because they're swallowing up the blockers for me.
Well, they let you know when they make the plays with the dances in the backfield, right? Especially Kimbis.
He does.
Hey, you know what? I think the Finelli kid is very underrated. He fooled me a little bit the first couple times I saw him because, hey, 35. You're not supposed to be a defensive lineman wearing number 35. But every time we've done a game or seen you guys play, he has been a major, major factor in the middle. Really good player, right?
Absolutely. Dan is a tremendous player. And, yeah, we make jokes about that, too, that, you know, some guys think he's a skilled guy. We tried him out at linebacker last year. But, man, D-line is really his place, as you can see. He's like a boulder in there.
You know, as Kevin mentioned before, Vinny Lee, Mike Golic, two of the better running backs in the shore. What do we do to stop those two guys tomorrow night?
We're going to execute our scheme, and when they get the ball, we're going to tackle them. You know?
There you go. Well, you know what? They're going to get it a lot, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to try, you know, I'm sure you've seen the RBC game many times this week, and they are on a pretty good roll right now. They beat the top team, the top dog in the shore, and they want to be that top dog again. But right now, even though they are number one, I still consider Brick the defending champion, and you'll always be the defending champion until you lose it.
You got that right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of respect for them over there. You know, Walt Christopick and, you know, Mike Smith and my friends. I coached over there with those guys, and they do a tremendous job over there. The kids are well coached. They have speed to go along with their strength. And they have a nice mix over there. They have something really good going right now. And it's going to be a great night tomorrow night.
Rob, the question always asked on a rematch, you know, who has the advantage? You know, they obviously want to avenge that loss. You have the feeling like, hey, if we play our game, we know we can beat them. Is there an advantage, or was the answer to that question come about 10 o'clock tomorrow night?
No, I know each team has their advantages. You know, they have a lot to play for over there. They lost to us. They have to avenge that. You know, but we also, you know, we're playing a number one team in the shore. You know, we entertain that. We love that. We love that role. You know, our kids embrace being the underdogs. They embrace being told by a lot of different people that they're not going to win. And they roll with that. And Jackson has their motivation and, you know, we got a little motivation ourselves.
Tell me about the week of practice. This is probably a week where you didn't have to make any speeches to get anyone up to get out there every day, right?
No, not at all. You know, Ray Federuso hit somebody the first play in practice on Tuesday and really just almost literally knocked the kid out. And I think that set the tempo for the entire week. Our defense swarmed to the ball. Our offense had very good execution through the air and the run game, and I couldn't be happier. We've never had a really good, complete week of practice. Maybe there was a bad Tuesday. I was disappointed. I verbalized it to the players. They came back Wednesday and Thursday, had phenomenal practice. Maybe we had a good Tuesday practice and not a good Wednesday. Maybe we didn't have a good walkthrough on a Thursday. This is the first week ever I could say, from Monday to Thursday, phenomenal, lights out.
James, wind chill in the teens tomorrow night, temperature not expected to get over 30. You wearing anything under the jersey?
Absolutely not.
Okay, short sleeves. Okay,
yes,
I'm going to. First guy I'm looking at tomorrow night is you.
Yeah, he did it all week.
So. How are you? Here's what I've never asked a player. Tomorrow's game night. How will you sleep okay tonight? I mean, will your mind be racing and thinking about the numbers of the guys in the red and black that you have to worry about?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be going a little crazy at home. You know, my family, they kind of know not to really bug me, you know. I'll sit in my room or on the couch. I'll watch some film and try and keep everything calm and, you know, not waste any energy that I'm going to need tomorrow.
Well, take the pizza home. You know, you got a few more pieces over there. Have a few tonight. You know, watch some of the NFL game tonight, you know, from Oakland. I don't know. The Dragons could probably beat the Raiders this year, you know, if they lined up head-to-head.
Yeah, that's good.
But, you know, it's a great feeling to know, you know, I mean, I'm sure last year, you know, it was sky high for months after that championship game. And to get another chance to do it, you know. There's been a lot of good programs, obviously Brick being one of the top ones in the shore forever, but there hasn't been a whole lot of back-to-back champions. You know, it's something that you have a chance to do, Coach.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. You know, last year our kids are playing to see the stands. I don't know where the game would be at this year, but TCNJ, look up there, see left to right, and hear from the president of the university. That's the first time he's ever seen those home stands packed. Our kids have that vision, and they want to have that vision again. You know, we're playing to get back to that vision.
You get a sense in school this week that the student body is pretty excited about this one?
Absolutely. It's actually been a lot of fun going to school because, you know, I got guys coming up to me left and right. You know, I can't believe you're playing them again. I'm so excited. You know, some people, I missed the first game. You know, some of my friends on Twitter have been telling me all these people that they don't even know that aren't even from Brick or Jackson talking about how excited they are. So, yeah, I mean, the school's been excited. Obviously, we're all excited. I mean, you know, everybody's just getting really pumped up for this game tomorrow night.
I mean, you know, taking nothing away from any of the other games on the shore this weekend, and obviously to each team, their game was the most important. But this is the one that has generated the most conversation because obviously a spot in the finals on the line, possibly a game to decide number one at the shore in a couple of weeks. I mean, there's so much at stake. And again, based on the first one, what I've told people is that I can't see this game being anything but a great game. I don't know who's going to win it. I will admit I'm the only one that picked Rick on our group this week.
I don't know if that's good for us.
You know what? I'd like to withdraw that statement. You didn't hear that. I'm in next to last place. But I think this is a game that people really are talking about. And football fans who maybe don't root for a team, well, I think will find their way out to Keller Memorial Field to see this one tomorrow night.
Absolutely. You know, all the guys, we've really kind of had that feeling like, you know, all eyes are going to be on Brick and Jackson on Friday night. And, you know, the guys that we play with, you know, I've been playing with them since I was little. And, you know, since we were 7 years old, really, we've loved that. You know, we used to get 300 or 400 people at our Pop Warner games. Like, we really, we live in the spotlight. We love it. And I know Jackson does, too, because we've been playing them since we were in fifth grade for championships like this. And this is the last time. And I know both of our teams can't wait.
James, any friends on the Jackson team? You know, personal friends?
Personal friends, no. But, you know, I've talked to a couple of the guys at camps and stuff. And
respect.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a mutual respect. You know, we've been playing the same guys since really we were in fifth, sixth grade. And it seemed like every year it came down to Brick Jackson for the championship. So, really, it's no surprise that it's happening like this again.
I know your mindset is strictly on tomorrow night's game. But just tell us a little bit about your post-high school plans, what you're thinking about now in November of your senior year.
Well, what I'm thinking about now, like you said, is Jackson Memorial. But, you know, post-high school, I've got a few colleges I applied to. The number one really on my list is the University of Chicago because, you know, they're practically Ivy League, and but the football is Division III. So, you know, I'm a smaller guy at linebacker, which I would really love. But I'm probably going to apply to a couple Ivy League schools and, you know, let's just, when the letters come back, let's just see what happens.
You know? So you'd like to play football, but academics clearly the priority.
Yeah, I would love to play football, but, yeah, academically, that's what's going to come first.
That's awesome.
I'm out of this conversation now. We start talking academics.
Yeah.
Take over, Kevin.
Coach, it's been really a fun couple of years. I know one of the things you had talked about was, you know, bringing the pride back to Brick football, and I think it's evident. There's an addition to the flags that fly above the field. You're looking to add another one in the next couple of weeks, and we're really excited about tomorrow night. It's Class A South football on an absolute cold night. I mean, it'll be a night for people who are football fans. Those who aren't, stay home. Listen on the radio.
I agree.
So we really appreciate you coming down on the eve of such a big game. Always good to talk with you. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night at your home. And, James, it was a pleasure to meet you up close and personal. We'll look forward to looking for you tomorrow night and calling your name a lot on the radio, right?
Thank you. It was nice being here.
All right. Good spot with the two guys from
Kevin,
Brick.
God bless everything with your dad and everything.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It was nice, your thoughts. I appreciate that. We've got an actual couple minutes. Harrison, what we're going to do is let's just take a real quick timeout here, and then we'll come back before the top of the hour. You're looking to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Yeah, we're back for a couple minutes before we hit the top of the hour. Just in that strange spot, Matt, you know, it was a few minutes, and I didn't want to keep these guys here. I mean, everyone's got to get a good night's sleep, right?
I got you, Cap.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk a little bit after the other side of the break with Monmouth University head football coach Kevin Callahan. Hawks getting ready for the it's hard to believe when you think about
season
it.
Season has gone very fast.
It's Saturday.
This is your stuff.
Okay. Saturday is the season finale for Monmouth, so we'll talk with Coach Callahan. You know, while we've got a second, a good time to say we're a little change in our schedule for next week, because of Thanksgiving and all the stuff that surrounds it and games being played and all that. So what we're going to do is next Tuesday, so it's a short turnaround after the weekend, but next Tuesday we'll be here at the Water Street Grill where we always are. But from 6 to 7, Matt and Coach Cal will do their normal Monmouth football show.
Monmouth Show South.
Monmouth Show South. it'll be the season finale of that. They'll kind of close the door on the season and probably peek ahead a little bit to next year. They'll do that from 6 to 7. And then from 7 to 8, we'll do a special edition of the Investors Bank High School Football Show, in which we'll talk a little bit about the games this weekend and then talk a little bit about Thanksgiving as well. We'll maybe have some surprises for you and all that.
Matt and I will be at Manasquan.
Right. Well, that's our next Tuesday. So we're actually 6 to 8 next Tuesday here, a little college and a little high school football. And then next Thursday, Thanksgiving morning, a tradition unlike any other. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what Jim Nance always says?
Yes.
about the Masters, right?
Yeah,
Masters, right?
Little smaller ball.
Yeah, but tradition like any other is that Matt and Ed will spend their Thanksgiving morning with the Wall Manasquan game, which this year is in Manasquan. 11 o'clock kickoff. It is our Jersey Mike's Thanksgiving Day game of the day.
Yeah, we look forward to that one, right, Matt?
Always. It's fun. It's always fun. It's one of those throw the records out.
Yeah,
type
absolutely.
Game.
Two teams, fairly similar spot, both under 500, and it'll be a very competitive football game.
What you're playing for is the winner. For the winner, Thanksgiving dinner tastes a lot better
than
the loser,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So.
And
should be a fun game.
And we hope for a nice day.
We've been fairly lucky. I think
the extended
forecast today, we're going to get a little warmth back next week.
Right. I heard 70s and 60s.
Well.
Tuesday, Wednesday, I did hear that.
You're never good at numbers.
70s and 60s?
Yes, I heard it could possibly get to 60.
He was in Florida this week. His numbers are skewed, you know. But I think it'll be okay. So that should be fun. So that's next week, and then.
By the way, Kev, how about the guests that we have had on
kids
this
have been
show
all great.
Since the first week in September till James Giuliano today?
Yeah.
I mean, tremendous scholar athletics
and good
scholar.
good kids,
tremendous,
great representatives of their,
of their schools,
their programs, and their, and more importantly, their families.
Yeah,
we've really enjoyed that. That's what I like most about this. We love talking with the kids. They've been great.
It's the way it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's
right.
Why we kind of do this stuff, you know. So we're going to hit the top of the hour in a second. We'll come back on the other side. Coach Cal, maybe a couple minutes late. Coach Cal, he's out of the area doing something tonight, but we'll have Coach Cal. Then we'll have Scott Stump on, and we'll really go in detail on this
bunch
big
of
weekend.
Games.
Big weekend. 15 schools playing. So we'll take a break. We're back on the other side. Thanks for sticking with us. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And welcome back to our favorite stomping grounds, the Water Street Grill, where we broadcast each week. The Investors Bank High School Football Show will be joined shortly by Monmouth University coach Kevin Callahan. I want to throw out a little plug on something here coming up, guys. On Saturday, December 6th, so that would be a week from this Saturday, from 1 to 4, the Parisi Speed School at the Atlanta Club in Manasquan, Eric LeGrand, the former Rutgers player and the current Rutgers broadcast, will be there in the afternoon for an afternoon of drills, team trainings, and a special talk that will feature the theme that anything is possible. Looks like a pretty good event. $10. Lunch will be provided by our friends at Jersey Mike Subs. And for information on that, you can visit theatlantaclub.com. Pretty simple. Get a chance to do a little training and meet and hear from Eric LeGrand, who has been an inspiration to thousands, tens of thousands across the country, and who, by the way, was at the game we did a couple weeks ago, right? At the Jackson
game.
Jackson,
yes,
RBC game. He's got a cousin, right? He's got a cousin who plays, who's a Jackson student. I know he had a cousin, a female, who was a basketball member last year as well, so he was there.
It's really made a tremendous contribution to many, factors in life.
There's no
after
question.
After his injury, he really has.
Yeah, and there's no question. He did not spend a lot of time, oh, woe is me. He's really done a tremendous, tremendous job. Scott Stump will join us shortly as well. We're just waiting for Coach Cal to call in.
Where is Coach Cal, Kev? Can you tell us?
Well, he was at an event,
and
he was going to sneak out. He was making an event, and he was going to sneak out to call us.
And I think he might be a speaker.
I think that's what it was,
one of the events,
Right, so he was trying to time things.
After the roast beef dinner, before dessert, he's going to come out and spend 10 minutes with us.
Exactly. And then Scott Stump will join us, and we'll wrap up with Stumpy. All the stuff, check out our website, SureSportsNetwork.com, for a complete look at this weekend's games, including our picks. All kidding aside, I was the only one that picked Jackson, of course. I picked Brick. Jackson coming in playing very well since that loss. And, of course, Brick had the one hiccup the following week, which is still the head-scratcher of the entire year in the Shore Conference.
The whole season.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And we didn't get into it, and there was no reason to, but for Brick to lose that game. You know, had Brick won that game,
it would have made it so much easier on who this number one is.
Well, there would be one and two.
Good out of doubt.
There'd be no doubt about it. It'd be one and two. And I think the winner, if that winner of the game tomorrow night then won the final a week later, then that would be it.
Well, and you also got to think, too, had Brick won that football game, these teams probably wouldn't be playing this weekend either.
No, you're right.
Brick would have been the number one seed.
Right? Wouldn't have Brick? Wasn't it a tie? Didn't Brick and Middletown South?
No, Brick and Jackson were tied.
I don't remember what the power points was going
it was
in.
Very
Brick you would have thought
two.
With a win.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if Middletown would have jumped them both.
We didn't get into it with Coach Dahl. You did a little bit with Coach K about thinking ahead, but Middletown South and Neptune is the other semifinal there at Middletown South tomorrow night. So regardless, we're going to have an all-shore final, and we'll have a champion there.
Mm-hmm.
And Middletown South, Neptune should be very interesting because Neptune's playing some good football right now.
Yes, they are. Six in a row, I believe.
You had Rodney Taylor on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
and we're very impressed with him. First-year coach who's done a really nice job there. So, wow. I mean, good night tomorrow night. A lot of football. There's only a couple of games on Saturday. It's, you know, and I wonder if the weather will be a factor tomorrow night. Just if it's cold and windy, how some people will handle that maybe for the first time.
And it is going to be cold.
No.
Sometimes the ball gets a little slippery when it's cold, you know. And, you know, I think the way these two teams play, hard-hitting, defensive football teams, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the ball was on the carpet a few times. And it's usually the team that takes advantage of those turnovers that usually comes out on top. I mean, it's no secret.
Also tomorrow night, Manalapan will host Hillsboro. The Braves again trying for that bid for that elusive state sectional championship. Rumson is home against Cinnaminson in Central Jersey Group 2, the number 2 seed, but I think clearly the favorite in that section. A Rumson-Roselle final looms very possible there. Shore Regional, which I think has got maybe, I don't want to say the easiest path, but the clearest path to a championship. Will host Middlesex tomorrow night. The Blue Devils really rolling after the win over Point Beach last week. You have, as we mentioned, Toms River North going to Cherokee. The Mariners with the big upset last week.
You know, interesting, Kevin, but the Mariners have pulled out all stops. They brought up Bob Fiacco, the ex-Mariner coach and longtime Toms River teacher and administrator, to speak to the 2014 Mariner football team this week. I believe it was Tuesday. Spoke in the team room for about 15, 20 minutes and said he got into the inner FIAC.
Whatever that is. We'll find out.
Guys that coach with him know what that is.
If they win Friday night, he'll take credit for the speech. If they lose, it was not his fault. A little bit late and a little bit short tonight, but we welcome in the coach of the Monmouth University Hawks, Kevin Callahan, who joins us. Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. I do want to apologize for the lateness of my call.
Now, we understand you had a $100,000 speaking engagement tonight, and you bumped us, and we're okay with that. Matt has done that before. Matt has done that before as well. But we do want to at least spend a couple of minutes because I know Saturday's exciting. It's the season finale. It's home. It's a chance for a winning season, and you know a lot of those good things against a Gardner Webb team that of all your Big South opponents, it seems like this is one that you match up pretty well with on paper.
Well, we do. We're two very similar teams. They're a team that has yet to have a conference win, just as we haven't had a conference win yet. They've got a pretty good passing attack with a quality quarterback and a top-flight receiver to throw the ball to. They're playing pretty well on defense also. And, you know, this is a game that our guys are very hungry for. We want to get that first Big South Conference victory. We want to finish the year on a winning note and with a winning season.
Coach, first time you've played this team, is there any difference in approaching, you know, somebody that you've never played before? You know, you don't really have them against you on film.
Well, not really. The interesting thing, and that's happened to us a couple of times this year in Big South play, right, this first-time opponent, is to really figure out what the personality of the team is. As you know, Ed, every team, every program has a personality of how they play the game, not necessarily in their offense or defensive schemes, but the manner in which they play. And that's one of the things you can't always get from looking at video. But I do think we match up very well with them. I think we have a good plan in place on both sides of the ball, and we're excited to go into this game to get the first Big South Conference win.
Coach, last week against Coastal Carolina, a little bit banged up in several spots, including the quarterback where Brandon Hill sat out with the turf toe. Any update on any of those guys coming back for this season finale?
Well, yeah, Brandon has practiced all week, and he looks pretty good. It doesn't look like he's having any holdover effects from the injury, so he should be good to go. We should get a couple of the defensive tackles back. We were missing three of them, three of our top four last week, and at least two of them should be ready to play this week. We should get Kevin Butler back, who's our starting safety, and he should be good to go as well. So I think we're not at full strength, but we're a lot closer than we've been the last 2 weeks.
Coach, obviously this is the final week of practice for your seniors. Is there anything different during the course of the week? Do you have any traditions leading into that final game of the regular season?
Well, we have and today was the day where, you know, they have an opportunity to say some things and share some thoughts with the team. And it was interesting, you know, that we've had very lively, very upbeat practices all week. And today, as we took the field this morning, there was kind of a solemnness out there. Not down, but just a solemnness where you could tell that there was a great deal of thought going through the minds of our seniors. And we have a big group. We have 29 of them that we're going to introduce on Saturday. And, you know, you could tell that it was a meaningful moment. The fact that their careers are coming to an end, most of them, it would be the last time they probably ever play football. And you can tell that they were dwelling on that a little bit. But I think that's a good thing.
Coach, just one stat I want to mention is that on Saturday, with only 13 points, you have a chance of setting the program record for points scored in a season. Pretty interesting.
I would hope that we will certainly not only set but certainly surpass that record. We're going to need more than 13 points if we hope to win on Saturday. But I can say this, you know, it's been a very prolific year on the offensive side. I think Kevin Morris has done a great job guiding our offense and our offensive staff in general, with Brian Gabriel and Jeff Gallo and Sammy Dorsett, TJ DiMuzio. And our players have really bought in and adopted the new philosophy in what we're doing. And I think we're seeing the results on the scoreboard.
Coach, you know, in talking with some of the players around campus during the course of the week, you've been nothing but really complimentary to these guys making the transition into Big South play and taking that step up competition-wise. But every time I've bumped into a player so far this week, I mean, I really get a sense that this one is just so important to them because whether it's seniors or even the underclassmen, they want a lot of those things out of the way. They want to get a winning season for the first time in the last couple of years. They want that first Big South win out of the way. So it's something I don't think they want to have to dwell on during the course of the offseason.
They don't, man. You're right. It is very, very important to them. It has each and every week. And, you know, we knew that there were a number of challenges when we joined the Big South that we would face week in and week out. And I think our players have faced those challenges head on. We've done well. We haven't always, you know, certainly got the end result in terms of the win that we're looking for. But I'm very happy with the way our players have attacked it. Many times we've been undermanned, but it hasn't stopped the way our guys have gone after it, and they deserve to get this win. And I think it's very important to them, and they'll come out ready to get that first conference big victory on Saturday.
Coach, you've seen them up close and personal now. Can Coastal Carolina win it all?
I think they can. I think they can. Okay. They have a lot of weapons. Offensively, you just don't know where to defend. They stretch you at every point of your defense. They've got a great scheme. Here's a great interesting thing. They have a great receiver, this kid, Matt. We did a great job on him. He had one catch on the game. Their second-best receiver had one catch on the game. Their number three receiver had eight catches on the game. So they can really put a lot of stress on the defense. They've got a great trigger man in the quarterback, Alex Ross, who's, you know, a dual-threat guy, but a very, very good passer. And their defense is one of the fastest groups I've seen in a long, long time. They're not incredibly big, but boy, are they fast. And there was times on the sideline last Saturday night that I was looking and we have a run play and Cheney's got the ball. And I said, well, okay, we got something going here. And I look up, it's minus one. That's how fast they get off blocks and they can recover and swarm to the ball.
Well, big day Saturday, senior day, 12 noon kickoff at Monmouth Stadium. Let's hope the PA announcer gets the names of all 29 correct. Otherwise, that's a guy who'll be looking for a new gig next year. Kevin, look forward to seeing you Saturday. We look forward to spending some time with you here next Tuesday night for the your final shows, which will be here from 6 to 7. Thanks so much for your time. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan. Quick timeout. We come back with Scott Stump as we wrap up tonight's show. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Now, back to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
The managing editor of SureSportsNetwork.com is our own Scott Stump, who joins us, as always, for our final segment. And obviously, Scott, with all the Shore Conference teams still playing in the playoffs, a lot of interest spread around. But I think, clearly, Central Jersey Group 4 and Central Jersey Group 3 have captured the interest of the majority of fans because you've got 7 of the 8 teams from the Shore Conference.
No, definitely. I mean, that Central Jersey 4 bracket, I think for a while we've really been anticipating these last two rounds, you know, the rematch of Brick Jackson, the rematch of Middletown South and Neptune. And I think, you know, it's been a little maybe surprising in Central Jersey Group 3. I don't think early in the year we might have thought Mattawan would be right here at this point. And clearly Ocean, you know, stroke of luck got them into the playoffs on the cutoff, and they took full advantage and took out the defending champions on the road. I mean, Long Branch, I feel like we thought would be there all along with Demir Willis and company, but it's really been fun with some of these other teams getting right into the mix.
Scott, talk to me about non-public three of the two teams, Red Bank Catholic and St. John Vianney. Which has a real legitimate chance to maybe move into the final?
Well, you got to say St. John Vianney simply because RBC is facing St. Joe's Montvale, who, as we know, is the 800-pound gorilla in this bracket. I think it's four straight years they've won it. You know, they knocked off a nationally ranked Paramus Catholic team. I think that score opened some eyes where they beat, you know, Camden Catholic 45-32 last week. And people thought, oh, maybe they're vulnerable. Very deceiving. Three garbage touchdowns against their second string in the fourth quarter and a kickoff return. St. Joe's really dominated that game. So St. John Vianney, 10-0. I mean, this is really their case. I've definitely heard some feedback, you know, from them that they are, you know, not happy about not being the number one team in the Shore, as they're the only undefeated team left at 10-0. They're playing this Del Barton team that's the number one seed. If they go up there and take them out, they've made themselves a pretty convincing case to be the number one team in the Shore. I mean, they have the weapons to win a shootout if it gets into that. Anthony Brown, their junior quarterback, leads the Shore in passing yards with over 1,900 and 25 touchdown passes. They have multiple receivers who can make plays. I'd give them a shot going up there. I think it really comes down to their run defense and how much they slow down Del Barton, because RBC is just going to have a tall order on their hands with an explosive St. Joe's offense and a defense that was good enough to shut out the number four team in the country 2 weeks ago.
Paramus Catholic, correct. How about Toms River North? Can they win at Cherokee?
I think they definitely have a chance. It really comes down to their run defense. I mean, Cherokee doesn't throw the ball a whole lot. They've only thrown for 500 yards all season. They have a 1,000-yard rusher, Mark Woodard, so, and they have a couple other weapons. But if Toms River North's front with Mike Seawick and Deshaun Coates, who's had a tremendous season, Adam Kakar, guys like that, if they can, you know, play disciplined, you know, play flat, not get too far upfield, and contain that Cherokee running game. I mean, on the other side, Mike Husney, their quarterback, and Asante Moore are both coming off 100-yard rushing games. I think that's going to be a big key. Can Toms River North's offensive line win the battle to keep that Cherokee offense off the field and let the Mariners just chip away with the run game? I definitely think they have a chance.
Scott, how about Manalip in Central 5?
Really interesting matchup because Manalapan's facing a Hillsboro team that has one of the most potent passing attacks in New Jersey. I mean, their quarterback, Ed Trimpert, he's thrown for 2,400 yards and 23 touchdowns. He just threw for 3 touchdowns last week. And Manalapan hasn't really faced a team that lines up like that and throws the ball a ton. So it's going to be a good test of their secondary. Kyle Mullen, their senior defensive end, who has 7 sacks, he's going to be big and get into the pass rush. So that's going to be a really, really difficult game for Manalapan against the type of team they haven't really seen this year. But, I mean, Manalapan trying to make their 4th straight final, I think they're so focused on trying to finally finish the job that they should be able to go up there and get a win, but it's by no means is going to be easy.
I'm going to steer you back just for a second in our last couple minutes here to the Jackson Brick game, because it's interesting. Brick won the first game in, of course, in overtime. Brick won the Class A South Championship, but it seems like just about everyone who picks games is picking Jackson in the rematch. Is that just a case of the thought that maybe the Jaguars have just taken a huge step from that October night?
I think so, and I also think it's the recency effect. You know, Jackson had that huge win over RBC most recently, and that is kind of what's in everyone's mind, and maybe they forgot a little bit about Brick, even though that team has been tattooing people the last 4 or 5 weeks, too. It's very bizarre how Brick's kind of become the underdog in this, even though they're the ones that won the first time around. I mean, the addition of Matt Castronova obviously has been key for Jackson on offense and defense. But, I mean, I would never consider this an upset if Brick won. I mean, they're such a good team, and you just feel like Carmen Sclafani, to finally vanquish him, you got to really give everything you got because he's the kind of player who can will a team all the way to the finish line. And I think the big X factor, you know, Ray Fattoruso didn't play last week. He's going to be back in the lineup this week. He's kind of had a little bit of an up-and-down season, but when he's on his game, fully on his game on defense and in the running game, then I think Brick is as good as anybody in the state in a public school program.
Well, we'll be there tomorrow night, as will you, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and you can read Scott's complete preview of the Brick-Jackson game on shoresportsnetwork.com. It should be a dandy. Just a reminder, Scott, tomorrow night you might want to bring the hat and gloves. It'll be cold out on the field, although Matt and I will be in the press box. Should be pretty comfortable there, right, Matt?
Come on up, Scott. There's plenty of room for you.
I'll make sure to whip a couple heat packs up against the window to startle you from down on the field.
Yeah, Scott has not learned how to write with those heavy gloves on the field, you know, or push that button on the camera, you know, get all those.
And I'm the last person given my last name who can lose fingers or toes to frostbite. It just can't happen.
All right, Stumpy. We'll see you tomorrow night in Brick. Thanks so much, as always.
All right, guys. See you tomorrow.
All right, there he is. He's the best there is in the business. Check him out at shoresportsnetwork.com. So tomorrow night, Brick Jackson, looking forward to that one. Really should be a dandy.
I think you can make the argument this is the best weekend for high school football. That semifinal weekend, everyone's trying to lock in a spot in the final. And, you know, there's just so many games and so much activity up and down the state.
Special thanks to our friends from Mattawan High School, Coach John Kay and Justin Ferrara tonight, of course, from the home of the Green Dragons, head coach Rob Dahl and James Giuliano. Kevin Callahan with his usual spot, our own Scott Stump. our crew. Harrison Stevens doing his usual great job back at the home of the Shore Sports Network, and of course, the one and only Tom Tremblay here. For our wait staff who takes care of us, we thank them all. What's that?
Jamie's.
Oh, Jamie. Hey, she's class
A. Best at Water Street.
We'll be here next Tuesday. You have a great football weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This has been the Investors Bank High School Football Show at the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on News Talk Radio, WOBM, AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Tonight's show was presented by Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Join us again next week. And for a complete look at Shore Conference football anytime, visit ShoreSportsNetwork.com.